Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today, recapturing out of the Bible the truth of the Word of God. Who is God the Father? Who is Jesus Christ? Who is the true Jesus? Well, as we saw in the last segment, Jesus was the Lord God of the Old Testament. Yes, the Old Testament gives us some understanding, or just, how shall we say, glimpses of the Father. Now, we'll cover that at a later time. But Jesus came to personally reveal the Father to the ones that he chooses. And that's why the world is deceived. Because they choose a religion. They don't choose God. And isn't it interesting? Jesus came to reveal the Father, and Jesus also told his followers, do not call any man on earth your father. That is, in a religious sense. And think about that for a minute. How are the Catholics going to explain that? Especially if they're never supposed to be literal fathers, having taken a celibacy vow. Well, that doesn't work very well either, does it? Because how many are pedophiles and homosexuals? And both of those things God calls an abomination. So how can men who do those things and reject the Word of God and don't believe in the Bible, how can they represent God? How's that possible? Well, they don't. The Bible represents God, and those who preach the truth of the Bible are those who are revealing and preaching what is true. That's why Paul wrote, prove all things. You prove all things by the Bible, not by what men say, regardless of how nice they are. Not by what men teach or the traditions of men, because all traditions of men reject the commandments of God, and hence, if you reject the commandments of God, you do what? You reject God. Now, let's see how the Apostle Paul also understood very clearly that Jesus Christ was the Creator. He was the one who said, let there be light, and there was light. He is the one who made the universe, as we saw in Hebrews, the first chapter. Now let's read it right here in the first chapter of the book of Colossians. Let's just read the first two verses in chapter 1. Just for a little sidebar, okay? Let's take a little sidebar, because this becomes very interesting. Let's read it. Paul, an apostle by the will of God to Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you continually. Question. Where is God the Holy Spirit, if there is a Trinity? Now, don't you think that Paul, in giving a salutation to the church, if the Holy Spirit were a person and were God, that the congregation would know that? But it's not there. It's not there in any one of the introductions of the epistles of Paul, and the Bible doesn't teach it. And yet, true Christians who did not believe in the Trinity were slaughtered and killed and martyred by the Roman Catholic Church because they said anyone who does not profess the Trinity is a heretic and subject to death. Who made them the executioners for God? You see, you also need to know history. You also need to understand what the Bible really says. Now again, you cannot find the word Trinity in the Bible. There is one verse injected into 1 John, the 5th chapter, but that's not of God. And at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, says, baptize them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, to say, see, that's a Trinity. No, that is not a Trinitarian formula. So what you need to do is order our book on baptism, and that'll tell you the truth concerning it. And also help answer the question, what should a true Christian be doing? Is it just that you believe and profess? Or must you also be doing something? Verse 9, for this cause we also, from the day that we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. See, Christians are to be filled with the knowledge of His will. They are to have wisdom. They are to have understanding. They are to have the power of God's Spirit within them that gives them the faith, the truth, and the belief, and the conviction. Let's read on. Verse 10, that you may walk worthily of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and growing in the knowledge of God. Now, that's quite a verse when you stop and think about it, isn't it? Growing in the knowledge of God, walking pleasing to all. If you walk worthily of the Lord, how then can you reject His commandments? How then can you say that He has done away with the law, when He Himself was the lawgiver? Just some questions to think and ponder as we go along here. Being fruitful in every good work. And people say, well, you don't have to have works. All you have to do is believe. Well, why does Jesus say in Revelation 2 and 3 and other places that He's going to reward every man according to his works? And why are we the workmanship of God? To walk in the good works that He has ordained for us to walk in. Let me ask you a question. What kind of works do you have? Because everybody has works. Think about it. Do you love God? Keep His commandments, as Jesus said. Do you walk in the way of the Lord, as Paul is writing here? Now notice, so that this can continue, he says in verse 11, being strengthened with all power according to the might of His glory, unto all endurance and long-suffering with joy, showing that being a true Christian is a difficult proposition in this satanic, sinful world in which we are living. So you see, the Bible is eye-opening, isn't it? Many of these things you don't even know and realize are there until you start reading it. Now let's continue. Giving thanks to the Father who has made us qualified for the share of the inheritance of the saints in the light. What is the inheritance of Christians? The kingdom of God. What is the inheritance of Christians? Eternal life. You think Jesus and God the Father are going to give eternal life to live forever? If you reject His laws, reject His commandments, and live any old way that you want, and say, oh Lord, bless me, I believe in Your name, Jesus. Really? Do you walk in His ways? Do you believe what He says? Well, if you don't, and you profess to be a Christian, you're not. Let's continue. Verse 13, who has personally rescued us from the power of darkness and has transferred us unto the kingdom of the Son of His love. Have you been transferred from darkness to light by the Spirit of God, by the truth of God, by the Word of God, by Jesus Christ? It's the Father who does it. He's the one who qualifies us. That's why He's our Father. And we are to be made in the image of Christ. And we are to be born again at the resurrection when Jesus returns, and He is returning. And I thought it quite interesting that Krugman, one of the writers for the New York Times, said, well, the way we can get out of the economic mess we're in now, at the time that this videotaping is going on, is that we need to have an invasion from outer space. and we can marshal all of our forces and armies, and we will have an economic boom, just like we did in World War II. Won't that be nice? Well, the truth is, Christ, when he returns, is going to be the alien invader. And they are going to make war with him. But they're not going to win. Christ and the saints are going to win. Let's read on. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his own blood, even the remission of sins. That's why Christ came. And we will see why he had to die. And we will see why it had to be God, not just a man. Verse 16, because by him were all things created, the things in heaven, the things on the earth, the visible, the invisible, whether they be thrones or lordships or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all, and by him all things subsist. Just like it said in Hebrews, the first chapter, that he's upholding all things by the word of his power. And that is Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? That's who he is. He was the Lord God of the Old Testament. He is the Lord God of the New Testament. He is the coming conquering king who is going to take over this world, and all the saints who are faithful will be resurrected and changed to become spirit beings, and we will all serve in the kingdom of God to rescue this world. Let's see how these things are done. Let's come to 1 Timothy, the third chapter. Let's see what Paul writes about him here. Let's see what he says about what God has done. And then we will answer the question, how did God and why did God become a man? Now, this is very interesting because what is the verse in the Gospel of John that everyone likes to have? John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish, but may have everlasting life. Now notice the may makes it conditional. There are conditions. We have to meet them. That's why the little big word, if, becomes so important. 1 Timothy 3:16, and undeniably great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, was justified in the spirit, was seen by angels, was proclaimed among the Gentiles, was believed on in the world, and was received up into glory. How is God manifested in the flesh? What was it that took place? Have you ever wondered what it was? Now, let's understand some other scriptures. We know it says that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. So as determined when the earth was created that he would give up his life to save his creation because he created it. But what did God have to do to accomplish that? Number one, he made man and woman in his image. In the image of God created he them. Genesis 1:26. Now, two important purposes are served by that. Number one, we are made in the image and likeness of God for the eventual purpose of becoming like God. Because the Bible is to tell us how we become after the God kind, and that's God's plan. But since mankind sinned, how then is God going to redeem man? Is he just going to do it by fiat? No. God is just. God is right. God is holy. God is true. And the wages of sin is death, is it not? Yes, indeed. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God, have they not? Yes, indeed. So whose life is worth more than all humanity combined? God's is, isn't it? So this is why Jesus became a man, born of the Virgin Mary. Now let's come to Philippians, the second chapter, and let's read what Jesus did. Because Jesus said in John, the 10th chapter, that he laid his life down for the sheep. No one took his life from him. He laid it down, and he received commandment by God, the Father, to receive it back. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's the whole goal. To have the laws and commandments of God, Hebrews 10:16, written in our heart and in our minds, inscribed upon them, and they now know that really the mind is etched with the knowledge and thoughts that we have. Now, with the Holy Spirit of God, then we are developing the character of Christ, the mind of Christ, walking in the ways and commandments of God in preparation for the resurrection, in preparation for being born again when Christ returns. No one's born again now. We've already covered that in many different segments. Now notice what he did. Verse 6, who, that is Jesus Christ, although he existed in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. That confirms what we read in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now you think about how much that God humbled himself to do this. You think about the one who became Jesus Christ, because, see, the word God in the Old Testament comes from the Hebrew word Elohim, which means more than one. And the Bible reveals that there are two, one Elohim who became the Father and one Elohim who became the Son. So this is talking about what Jesus did, who was God. Verse 6, Philippians 2. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but emptied himself and was made in the likeness of men and took the form of a servant. Now, what did Jesus have to do? He had to empty himself of all of his glory and become a pinpoint of life to be begotten in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Now, you say, oh, that's an unbelievable thing. Well, yes, it is, but God can do it. Nothing's impossible for God. And if Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world, and if Jesus, after the sin of Adam and Eve, who was the Lord God of the Old Testament, prophesied of his own coming death and overcoming Satan the devil, emptied himself. Verse 8. And being found in the manner of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why? Because he, as God manifested in the flesh, with his death, he took upon himself the death penalty of the wages of sin for all human beings. Now, how and when that is applied to human beings is all revealed in the plan of God through his Sabbath and holy days. So if you don't have the book, A Cold Holidays, God's Holy Days, which, you write and get it, and then we have another more detailed book that follows that up, which is called God's Plan for Mankind, Revealed by His Sabbath and His Holy Days. That explains it all. God has a plan. God who created the heavens and the earth, and you look out and see the vastness of the universe and all that is there. And he has created that for his family that is to be born again at the resurrection when Jesus returns. And all of this has to do with why Jesus came. Now let's come back here to John, the 10th chapter, and let's see that Jesus did this voluntarily, yet he was also obligated to do it because he was the one who created mankind. Do you understand that? And as creator, his life covers all human beings, all human sin. But there is another caveat that has to take place. All have to repent. There's no forgiveness of sin without repentance. Now you need to understand that. That's why on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was given, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." See, you don't receive the Holy Spirit until you have repented and are baptized. And this baptism, then, is a covenant baptism into the death of Jesus Christ, who was God. Now, notice what he says here. Verse 14, "I am the good shepherd and know those who are mine and am known of those who are mine. Just as the Father knows me, I also know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep." He dies for those who repent. Now you see, the plan of God is fantastic. The world doesn't understand it. Oh, yes, everyone wants to get their conscience clean and have the forgiveness of sin, but to enter into the covenant of eternal life. Now, that's another story. See, that's not really taught in the churches today. Let's read on. Verse 17, "On account of this, the Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may receive it back again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have authority to lay it down and authority to receive it back. This commandment I received from my Father." Now, if you want a very interesting, detailed study, you go to cbcg.org to our series in the book of Hebrews. Now, this is a detailed series, and if you really want to know some basic fundamental things concerning Christianity, you go download that whole series or write us, and we'll send it to you on a CD. 41 sermons, but you go to sermon 27, which is the covenant between God the Father and Jesus Christ, because before the creation of the earth, and before the sin of Adam and Eve, this covenant between God the Father and Jesus Christ was made. And so Jesus Christ, who's the creator of all mankind, laid down his life in love, in service, in faithfulness, to be the perfect sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. That's why Jesus says, repent and believe the gospel. That's why Jesus says that we need to repent, believe in him who is Savior and Creator, who is the head of the true church. The one who was Lord God of the Old Testament was born of the flesh, laid down his life. Now we will see what else had to happen in the next segment, because this gets very, because this is really thrilling to understand what God has really done to save you and me from our sins and to bring us the true salvation of God as defined in the Word of God, and not by the traditions of men. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.